You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction, and we are on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I have a specially good guest this week. Not that all my guests aren't good, but this week, it was a person that I have found just in the past two or three weeks. Actually, she found me, and she does co-parenting with the universe. She helps mothers who have children that are teenagers that need some extra special attention. And I'm talking the mothers, not the teenagers. Because the amazing thing is that once we understand as mothers how the universe works, how the natural laws of the universe works, how the law of attraction works, how energy works, how frequency works, when we understand that about ourselves, it translates over to our children. We try to fix our children. Number one, nothing needs to be fixed. But number two, we need to understand exactly how everything's working. And I think it's brilliant that my guest, and her name is Muriel Falous, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but we are going to spell it all for you at the end. She started out by coaching women, coaching on relationships. And she has now developed her own coaching program on coaching mothers and parents with teenage kids. That, as we all know, this is a really difficult time of life when we have teenagers. And this is a difficult time in our world right now to get our footing, to get our energy, to understand what's going on. So I am so blessed that I have been offered this opportunity to get to know her. So thank you for being here. You will love this session. You will love this episode. And so we will be right back with Muriel. And we are back with a new friend of mine. I've only known her 2 to 3 weeks. She reached out to me for me to be on her show, and I was so impressed and I was overwhelmed by her sincerity. I asked her to be on my show. So I'd like us to welcome Muriel Falous. I'm not sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but she has a program and a website, Single Moms Doing It All, which resonated with me because I had been a single mom for a while. So Muriel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Paula, for having me here. I had a lot of fun with you. So,
well, we had so much fun when I was doing your show, and I knew that there was a message here for all of my listeners because there's so many of us that can identify. So tell us real quickly what you're doing now, and then I want to hear your story and how you got here.
So today I'm coaching single moms who are somehow struggling with their teenagers. Most of them have teenagers, and most of them are single moms. I have moms who are not, but, and I'm helping them navigate the challenges of having a teenager who sometimes acts out, or the recurring arguments that can happen when you have a teenager, the feeling hurt, and even more serious challenges such as kids who really act in self-destructive ways. And I address the mom side of it because we need to be solid and aligned with high vibration if we want to be able to help them and bring them back up instead of them bringing us down.
And that is such a perfect concept because we think we have to change them, right? We think we have to change the kids. And what I love is that you're working with the mothers, that it is their alignment with source, their alignment with higher energy, that I want to share later on in the program. And I've shared with you before how when I changed my attitude toward my teenage son, which everybody out there can relate to raising teenagers, he changed, right? I changed my attitude and my frequency, and I saw a transformation. So Muriel, tell us how you got here. I know you're from France. I know you got here. here in the United States, I forget how many years ago, but tell us your story, how you have gotten to the point you're offering this help to people.
So I'm from France originally, but when I was in college, I moved to Israel and I lived there for over 10 years, which is where I met my ex-husband who was from California. That's how I ended up in the US. Some people say that they found their purpose. My purpose was always running after me. I was already coaching people when I was in high school, and especially people who were in pain. Somehow I have a soothing effect. And I can reflect people's strength to them that they're not even aware of them. So people who are in pain, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, a lot of stuff like that in high school, were drawn to me because of the non-judgmental aspect and the soothing effect. Fast forward several years, women were still coming to me, and even men when they were in pain. So I started coaching people on relationships because I myself struggled with attracting, inviting, aligning with dysfunctional relationships. Yeah. So once I did the work on myself, I started coaching women around me on relationships. And that went on for several years until my kids became teenagers.
And how many children do you have?
Three.
Three children. Okay.
So I raised three of them as a single mom. And their father suffers from addiction. So I had to be the everything for them, like the protector, the provider, emotionally, financially, as far as security, everything. And when they became teenagers, I was recovering from an hepatitis B at the time. So that was going on. And they started acting out. They started really misbehaving and trying stuff like drinking and smoking weed, because weed is legal here in Las Vegas, not for teenagers, but the message is it's harmless. So of course they started trying that and even more stuff that would be potentially very dangerous. And I spiraled into depression without realizing, because I was living in anxiety. I had done already so much work on myself, but I was, you know, kids, it's a relationship that is so strong to your core, and it's so scary that it can bring all your resistance areas in your face for you to change them. And that's what happened. I used to wake up at night imagining one of my kids dead in the street because they tried something and it killed them on the spot. I was a mess, and I didn't even know I was depressed. That's why I see so many women, we spiral into negative emotions, and soon enough, you are depressed, you have thoughts. Not so long ago, I attended suicide prevention class, and they were giving the list of warnings that you are in depression, and I was almost checking all of them, thinking about when I was depressed back then. So I realized I was depressed at a certain point.
And here's the thing with mothers. We come last, right? Our kids come first, and we never even look at the check things to see if we're checking any of the boxes, and we're depressed because we don't think there's any energy left for us to do anything with ourselves. We're trying to do everything for our kids. And the juxtaposition is, it's the exact opposite, right? That we need to take care of that aspect first.
The truth is, you talked about not having energy. The truth is that if you don't pay attention to what's going on, your energy is depleted and you're vibrating low, and you don't have anything to give anybody, just your fear. Because that's where I was. I was at the fear level. I always explain energy as an elevator. I stopped at the floor of fear and I got stuck there. And
you know, the kids pick this up, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, that energy, and then they're going, why is she afraid? There must be something to be afraid of. They're not even say this. Nobody even says this in actual words. They just pick it up and then they go, why is she afraid? Well, there must be something to be afraid of. So I'm going to act out because there must be something to be afraid of. I mean, it's amazing how our energy as mothers affect, I mean, everybody around us. So
It does.
Go ahead.
We're like disco balls, where that facet is active in us.
Disco balls. That is so true.
I always see ourselves as disco balls. We have so many facets, and based on what's active in us, it will activate the same facet in the other person. So then here you are with a dynamic that is not serving anyone.
Yeah. So, okay. So how long were you in that depressed state before you figured this out?
I think at least 6 months, because I remember having thoughts like, this is too much. I can't deal with all of that. There is too much. I mean, I had teenagers who were sneaking out at night, taking my car and stuff like that. That happens in a lot of houses, but that's scary, especially when
you're... It's very scary. And here's the deal. When you say, I can't take it anymore, there's no other option.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about before we started recording, and I wish we could sneak some recordings in before, because you're so inspirational, but that this is the one job, this is the one role that we have that we can't quit, right? It's not like we can call somebody in and say we want to take a 2-week vacation. We're in it, right? And I think that gets us to the point of we're so overwhelmed and we don't know the options. And so we just wallow in it.
And the layer that even added more difficulty and more shame is that I was thinking like, I would just love to disappear. I wouldn't kill myself because I have kids, but if a lightning could come and just make me disappear, I would be okay with that. And a mother thinking that, there is so much shame that you're not even aware of it. And it's under the surface, and it prevented me from healing the depression for several months.
Well, we're afraid to reach out because it is shameful.
It is.
I mean, we as mothers feel shame all the time because we don't think we're doing it right. We don't think we're doing it good enough, right? But when you get to that level, you can't even say the words to reach out to somebody.
Not even to yourself.
Yes,
that's where
true.
I was. I couldn't admit that until I woke up one night in tears. And I said, oh my God, I don't like my life. And I hadn't seen that. I even have chills when I'm talking about it, because I couldn't admit that to myself for so long, because there was that shame that meant I was not a good mother. That means I don't really love my kids, because what kind of a mother doesn't like her life when she has healthy kids and she was blessed with kids? Some people can't have them. Right. So that shame and that guilt was so strong that I couldn't even see it myself for myself until that specific night. And I cried so much, all those tears that were bottled up in me for so long. All that shame, I started crying. And that was the beginning of the healing. That was the beginning of the ascension back up. And I talk
because I see on your website, it says, just because you don't like your life doesn't mean you don't love your kids, right? And I think there's such a correlation between those two things that we think that if we don't love where we're at, we don't love our kids. And that's so far from the truth. We need to tell us what we need to do.
That's society telling us that. But right. The truth is, we are walking paradoxes. We are human beings. We have so many things true in us that can be contradictory at the same time. So the first thing is to admit that. And if you have no one to say that to, because you feel that people, you're afraid of their judgment, find someone neutral, find a coach, find whatever authority, whatever person in your life that can hear that, because that's extremely important for you to be able to admit that. Because unless you're aware of what you have to change, you can't heal. And if you don't feel that consciously, you can't heal. So you start becoming aware that that's the starting point. I don't like what's going on. It doesn't mean I don't love the people in my life. It doesn't mean I don't love my kids. It just means I don't like what's going on. And thank God, you and I know that we have the power, using law of attraction, law of alignment, and our brain to change our life. And we can start with very tiny steps. So that's the first step.
Let me ask you this. Number one, awareness is the first step, right? We have to even be aware of what we're feeling and that there are different options. But number two, did you know about the law of attraction or the law of alignment back then? Oh, you did. So you could use that tool.
I have been using that for years. But the problem is, law of attraction starts with a thought, which creates a feeling and translating an emotion in the body. Once you are very deep into the emotion, the thought level won't change your emotional state enough
so
for you
true.
To pick another thought.
You can pretend like you're thinking another thought, but you're so in that vibrational level
hovering.
Of I love shame is one of the words you're using, right? Or, you know, you're overwhelmed.
Guilt.
You can't think other thoughts. I mean, we're on that hamster wheel.
That's on a, both on a vibration level, because you're vibrating at the level of shame and fear and guilt and doubt. And on a physiological level, your amygdala in the brain, the stress center, is activated. And it's sending a message to the body to be on alert. It sends it makes your blood, it detours the blood to your extremities to be able to fight, flight, or freeze. And your frontal cortex, the part of the brain that is creative, that is resourceful, that can analyze, is not functioning at its optimal state.
And those are physiological. Those are chemical. Those are those are actual physical things that our body does. And it's very hard for us to get out of that.
So what I did, and I created that process for myself first before I started teaching it, I created a process that I called AID, A-I-D-D. And that's first awareness. Then that's intervention, because that you need to intervene at a nervous system level to calm down the amygdala, calm down the stress response in your body. And I use tapping, emotional freedom technique, EFT. You can use, there are techniques that will calm down the response, the stress response in your body. There is a term for doing that, I think, owning, I forgot the term, but you caress from your shoulder to your elbow, and there is a nervous meridian and an energy meridian that goes along your arm, and you literally calming down the stress response in your body if you don't know tapping.
Wow, I love that, because we automatically kind of try to hug ourselves, right?
Yes.
We automatically try to do that, but if we can intentionally, and those of you on the radio, I mean, she's literally got her arms crossed and she is touching her shoulders on either side down to her elbows.
Yes.
In a caress, like you would do your own child.
Yeah, you soothe yourself and you breathe deep from the nose, because then it will send a message to the brain that everything is fine. Because in times of alert, you don't breathe from your nose. You run, you breathe from your mouth. When you start breathing deep from the nose, it sends the message to your body, I'm safe. You can also say, I'm safe. In this moment, I'm safe. Nothing's going on. I'm safe. And if you're worrying for your kids, they're safe. In this moment, they're safe. And I'm going to go even deeper. My fear was to lose one of my kids.
Yes.
So the way I work with fear and the way I help people work with fear is when you need to, not always, sometimes you can just pick another thought, but when things are really, really deep, you go down to the bottom of your fear. And you realize that even if, God forbid, I was supposed to lose a kid, there's nothing I can do that can prevent that. Nothing. I believe that we choose before we come on earth that we're going to incarnate, and we choose certain stuff. But even if you don't believe that, you cannot prevent somebody who is supposed to.
Oh, I totally believe that we came down here for a mission and we can't.
Yeah. And so if I can't control something, I teach people to realize their areas of power and their areas of powerlessness. That area of powerlessness at a human being level, because at a soul you have power on that, is the job of the universe. So if I know that there's nothing I can change if I'm supposed to go through that in my life, there is no point in wondering if it's going to happen, in thinking about it even, because I trust that the universe, when something happens, will provide the tools to deal with it. So if that needs to happen, I don't want to think about it right now. I will be provided with the tools then. And it may never happen. So why worry if you're not sure it's going to happen? And when I did that, accepting that I have power and other things I don't, peace came on me.
I love that. I had a man on my show 2 or 3 weeks ago that, you know, we talked about 95% of what we worry about is never going to happen.
Yeah.
And we use our precious present moment worrying about that. Whereas if it does happen, we will be able to handle it. Absolutely. You just said the universe is going to give us the tools. The universe isn't going to give us the tools now because nothing is going on, right?
Exactly.
I am such a control freak. I always try to control everything in my circumstance. I try not to now, but it is exhausting. And especially with kids, it's exhausting. And all it does is make them feel insecure because we're feeling insecure about it.
And frankly, if you want to be a good mother, you need to do whatever you have to do to have all the resources you can to deal with what's going on. And giving a part of your energy and your attention to that is depriving you from... I always do meditations with people with energy arms like an octopus, because we hook energy into our problems, into people from the past. Reclaim that energy to you so you can deal and help your kid now at your highest potential.
Right now, right? They need us right now. They don't need us worrying about the past or being mad at him for what they've done in the past. Or what we normally do is worry about the future. They're going to be okay. I love it. It drains us of our energy. And what we need is that for right now.
And so to come back to the process, you intervene on the feelings.
Okay.
And then you try to pinpoint what thought you were entertaining. And maybe you will be able to point it, maybe you won't, but you will at least be able to point a feeling in an emotion in your body, something that doesn't feel right. Just decide to let it go. And if it's a thought, what I know that we haven't been taught is to let go of a thought. We have been taught to analyze it, tackle it, understand it. No, in that case, it will bring you even more down vibrationally. So just let it go. Like, you know, when you ski, you have those poles that pull you up the mountain. Uh-huh. And then when you go up, you're on the top of the mountain, you let it go. Otherwise, you're going to go down on the other side. That's
true.
The exact story of what's going to happen with us if we don't let go of that thought. We're going to go down.
Let's talk about let go of it, because so many people have said so long, just let go of it. And you can say, okay, I've let go of it, but you really haven't. If you're still entertaining that fear, you can say it. How do we really let go of it?
So it's a decision. And sometimes we need to kick ourselves. Because I'm all peace and love and I love that. But you know, sometimes you have to say no. Like you would say to a 2-year-old that's going to put their fingers in the outlet.
Uh-huh.
No, you don't go there. You're not allowed. And you let it go. And the thing is that people think that it's going to be a no, and then that's going to be done, and I will never go there anymore. That's not true. You're going to go back there because your brain has been wired to go there. You've done that so many times, so many years. So you're going to have to intervene sometimes 50 times a day and say, that's my old way of doing. I'm done.
So are we neutralizing it and not thinking anything, or are we trying to think a positive?
First you try to say, I'm done with that story. That's a story. We need to know that what we're thinking is only a story. Unless you're dealing with something horrible now in the present, it's only a story
that we just
so you
made
let
up.
Go. Right. I'm writing okay. another book.
Right.
And that decision, you need to come back to it and come back to it. But it needs to be like a mother to a child, to a 2-year-old. And then you pick another thought. The mistake that I see so many people making is to try to go positive too fast. Because you were so down.
To try to go positive too fast. Yes.
You need to get neutral. So when everything is active and you're in fear and you're tapping, it will calm down your body. You'll be able to breathe better. You'll be able to already have more power in this decision of letting go of that thought. You're done with it. Have a notebook where you write down, when you're feeling good, what thoughts make you feel good? What thoughts make you feel safe? Or an image. What do you see? Like nature for me is a big thing. When I'm in nature, I'm at peace. So thinking about a tree and a meadow would bring me back to peace in the moment. Sometimes it doesn't work. What activity can you use to bring yourself back to your center? Dancing. gardening, having your hands. And
beautiful music. There's beautiful instrumental music that if you're playing it in the background, your mind is used to watching a movie and you pay attention to the music in the background. And if it's chaotic music, you're thinking something bad is going to happen. But if it's this beautiful music, you know nothing's bad's going to happen. So music is one thing that will neutralize me because I'm listening. And so my mind goes, well, nothing bad's going to happen because it's a good soundtrack, you know? So I think music is a good way to do it.
I even sometimes think about my life as a movie. I'm like, okay, the main character in the movie usually goes through a very strong challenge where you think everything is going to be lost. But suddenly, because she was persistent enough, everything opens. So remember, everything is temporary. You won't stay stuck there, but have enough authority on yourself to not let yourself go in that thought and in the neighborhood of that thought, and have some resources available. I'm very big on tools. That's why I in my membership, I have tools like tapping, meditation, tools that you can use in the moment. You just had an argument, go tap to calm yourself down. Then pick something that's going to bring you at a neutral vibration, a little bit positive. And once you feel you're neutral enough, you can decide to stay there, or you can pick a thought that brings you even higher.
And so it doesn't necessarily have to be a thought about your children. It can be a thought that just makes you happy.
Yes.
The universe is responding to our frequency. It doesn't care what we're happy about. It just knows the vibration we're putting out. So I think we beat ourselves up and we try to think of reasons that we like our children at the moment, right? Or all the good things. It's just finding something that brings you a better feeling thought, right?
Yes. And one that I think I give my people and that I respond very strongly to is I have what it takes. I have what it takes.
Oh, I love that word. I have what it takes.
You feel safe no matter what it is. And I'm not alone. Remember, the universe is with you. You may have people in your life that you can ask for help. I have what it takes and I'm not alone.
I love that. And you know, when we start acting, the universe, it's a magnet. It pulls toward us what we are doing. We need to understand on every level, we go, the law of attraction is not working for us. It's working for us, just like the law of gravity. But if you're putting this stress and blame and shame out, you're going to get more of it, right? And so when you start acting in a higher level, a higher frequency, the universe responds in kind. It gives us more of that same frequency. Yeah. And it helps us. We don't have to go all the way there ourselves. We go a little way and the universe brings the rest of it to us.
You have to be stopping. So stop at the floor. I'm safe. Everything is well. And when you repeat that enough, the universe is going to show you why. And your brain, your reticular activating system, I don't know if you talk about that.
I love that one. But yeah, go ahead and tell us about that.
So the reticular activating system is like a matchmaker. It will bring coherence between your inner world and the outside world, which means that if you believe that we are living in a war zone, you're going to notice everything, everyone who's conflictual, every reason why you need to be careful, you're not safe. When you say, I am safe, all is well, I will be provided with the tools, I have what it takes, your brain needs to bring coherence with what you see, hear, and come across in the outside world. With safety. So you're going to say, oh, okay, when I did that, I call that everything that I explained, surrendering what is not yours to the universe and vibrating at the level where you can access your own resources and the being shown the next step. Co-parenting with the universe, because in my life,
co-parenting with the universe. I love that. I wrote that down the last time we were talking. I love that. Co-parenting with the universe.
Because that's
we aren't by ourselves, right? Universe, God, source is there.
And if, I don't know, I respond really well to the word miracle. Some people don't. Use your own word, synchronicities, whatever you want to call it. Pay attention, because your job is to be open, willing to see. I always ask, show me. And people expect to see the whole path. No, you're going to see the next step. Trust. The next step is going to be shown to you. In my life, it has been shown to me in books. Suddenly, I feel the urge to buy a book from an author that I don't even resonate with.
I love that. I used to say there was a Barnes & Noble angel because I would go in there and I would pick out the perfect book.
Yeah.
I was going in there to go to the weird section of Barnes & Noble back in, you know, the law of attraction. And I was walking through the science part of it just because I had to get down the science aisle to get back to the very back of the store. And I am not kidding. This book, I'm not kidding. It falls off the shelf in front of me. And it's called The God Theory. And it was by an astrophysicist, and he put spirituality and science together. And that was what I had missed. I had missed the science behind it. I knew the spirituality was right, but I was an attorney, right? And I knew I needed credibility. I needed documentation. I needed evidence. And it's perfect. I love that. Say that again.
I was trained in finances. I graduated.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
So I need the concrete.
Yes, me
for
too.
For the days when I'm not strong enough in my vibration to really back me up. And science is backing up what the spirituals have been saying for thousands of years.
And that's a miracle, right? That we're living in an age that science is backing up all the spirituality that has been here for 6,000 years or longer than that, I'm sure. Yeah. But so that's a miracle. And, you know, the other name is like coincidences, but we need to be open to those and not poo-poo them. I mean, you see something that's a miracle and you go, oh, never mind. And it's God going, hello.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
And you also be open to the format. It's like when I was teaching people.
Oh, I love that. Open to the format.
Relationships. Yeah, okay. I used to have women who said, oh, no. I need a 6'2" brown. I said, okay. Leave the format. Just put, how do you want to feel in that relationship? And be open to the universe bringing you someone that may not look like what you thought they would. Same thing as mothers. To give you an example of what I call a miracle, when my son was 13, I went to the organization Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Uh-huh.
Because he needed a positive role model for a male in his life.
Uh-huh. Yes.
They told me at the time, you know, 13, not many people want to be matched with a 13-year-old. It's too old. We're not sure we're going to find him a match. I said, okay, I'll enroll him anyway. Time passed. I didn't think about it. He was 15 now. And we were struggling with something. And I told the universe, show me the next step. What am I supposed to do? Show me what's good for him. What am I supposed to do? 2 hours later, so keep in mind, 2 years passed.
Uh-huh.
2 hours later, I receive a phone call and they say, we have a match.
Oh, and I love that.
He has been seeing that man for over 2 years now. They do stuff together. They go to museums. They do, of course, pre-COVID. Now with COVID, they still do stuff. I mean, that's the next step. I asked, I received. So I would never have thought about Big Brothers, Big Sisters because it had been such a long time.
Right.
It was not in my mind. So many times I have things like that happening. I say, okay, show me. And suddenly I need to read that book or I need to take that class or I need to talk to that person or I need to go exercise. That can be your message too because you're too stressed to see the solution. Suddenly you feel like, oh, I feel like going to the gym. Okay. Once I felt like going to Starbucks and with a conversation with another French person, I got a new client. Listen and be open to any format at all.
And what I find is when I
looks through us.
When I do one thing, they come quicker. It's when I'm fighting. I have an inclination to text somebody and I go, oh, who cares? But I text them and they text me back and say, I needed that so much. That once we start doing it, they start coming quicker don't try to sit there and figure out if this is right or wrong. If you have an inclination to do it because you're not going to think of any, your intuition is not going to give anything bad to do. And the other thing I think that you do is amazing is we have a idea or an ideal in our mind, what our kids are supposed to be and look like. Right. And so we mold them into that, which may not be where they are going to be at all. But we as mothers think we have failed if they aren't this model of they're, you know, the quarterback and the, you know, cheerleaders and stuff. And when we tune into that intuition, we find out who they truly are. And then Our higher self can help their higher self.
Being stuck on a model is fear. It's because, and I'm preparing a program to put an end to arguments, like something that I'm going to record. And one of the pillars of that is to examine your own stuff, because you get in arguments many, many times because your fear gets in the way of what's really going on. Like, you know, when kids don't have good grades, one of the most common thought is, oh my God, they're going to work all their life at McDonald's.
Right, right.
What? It's nonsense. Don't scare yourself like that. It doesn't mean anything. How many? Look at Tony Robbins. He didn't go to college.
So many of them. Steve Jobs dropped out of college. Yes. I mean, they learned what they were here to do, and it doesn't have anything to do with grades, and it doesn't have anything to do with college, right?
It doesn't mean we need to give up and not support them, because sometimes they need a little nudge.
Yes.
But yeah, especially now with online school. But really open your mind and see, who do you have in front of you? It's a spiritual being too. They are your kids. They need to mature and grow up, but they have wisdom too. So let them get in touch with their own wisdom. That's the best protection that they can ever have. If they're in touch with that, and you cultivate that relationship and you teach them to cultivate it, that's the best protection ever.
Well, and you know, when I'm meditating or I've had a tough day with my child, you know, I say to my spirit guides, okay, spirit guides, would you get over and talk to my child's spirit guides, because they're laying down on the job. And it's not that they're laying down on the job. It's our children have to get that alignment themselves, right?
And sometimes they have to. The problem with us as parents sometimes is that we're trying to avoid them having any kind of pain.
Yes.
And you need to discern if it is something that you need to intervene on. Like, for example, in my family, there was a depression and a suicidal attempt. Then you need to do something about it. But there are pains that are part of life. And if you don't let them go through that, they won't be equipped. They're going to crumble at the tiniest challenge.
And look what's going on.
Yeah.
In our
let
country.
Them build themselves.
And, you know, because the struggle is where they're going to have to stop and say, is there something bigger, right?
Yeah.
Is there something bigger that's going to help me? If they never struggle, if they never have to do anything beyond their normal means, they're never going to learn their true power.
And pain, effort is part of life. It's building self-esteem.
Yes.
I know one of my kids had to learn, several of them actually, two of them are more sensitive. So they had to learn to set boundaries. And when they were younger, I was there to guide them. Okay. Two of my kids were bullied. So talking about the law of attraction, when my daughter, I don't remember how old she was, like maybe 8 or 10, she was bullied by a teacher. And I knew that this teacher didn't like me, so talking to her wouldn't have helped. It's not really bullied. She was ignored. And to a kid, it's very damaging.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Never a compliment. And she was a straight-A student, right? I took her and we did a meditation. I told her, listen, if she's like that, she probably suffered so much when she was a little kid. Let's imagine her as a little kid and let's send her love. And that's what we did. And that way she didn't feel like a victim. She felt like somebody who could do something about her situation. And she did. So it met her need for action, for affirmation, for feeling powerful, significance. 2 days later, she got a compliment.
Wow.
This works. I teach.
This works. This shit works. That's what that's what my husband says.
You talked about sending, meditating and sending guides to your son.
Uh-huh.
I am creating, because I've been doing a group coaching last month, and I talked about working on an energy level with your kid when they don't want to listen to you, and teenagers don't want to listen to us.
Right.
So working with your energy, I did so many experiments with my kids. I used to tap, connecting with my son's energy, tap on feeling better because he was going through something difficult, and send him love and calm him it's, I can't explain how it works exactly. I don't know.
And but you were doing it on yourself.
I was doing
with the intention that you were helping your son.
Connecting
right?
with his energy.
Because energy is not local, right?
And it did create some change.
In it did?
Our relationship.
Yes.
So when they're not, what you're saying or wanting from them is not being received, like on that earth plane, try energy. Try remembering before you go and talk to them. Take a few minutes, remember when they were babies and so cute and you love them. Fill your heart with love and then go talk to them about that bad grade or whatever you have to talk to. So you're not coming with an energy of confrontation. You're open and you feel safe. And I teach women to not be triggered so easily. Not so long ago, I had a workshop on don't feel so hurt by your teenager. Because we do that to ourselves. They do something and we're like, oh my God, they are lacking respect. They don't love me. All that story changes.
Their lives are ruined, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm the mature one here. They're doing a tantrum. They're 15, 17, but they're doing the same thing like when they were 2 years old and rolling on the floor because they want something. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with you. And or they're trying to communicate something with you and you don't understand. So where can you open? Where it's tiny little shifts that will create such a difference. I had a client like about a few months ago. She had her daughter sneaking out and smoking weed and all that. And she was, every time she heard a door close, like she was on alert. She was like, oh, did she escape or something? And I know that feeling personally.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We worked together and after, I think, 6 sessions or 5 sessions, something happened with her daughter and she was not, it didn't take over her life. She did what she had to do. She set the limit, but it didn't take her hostage her uh-huh. entire day. And her boyfriend said, what's happening? She said, oh, I'm going to go to the mall with my mom. He said, how come you're not upset? She was no longer letting what was going on affect her entire day. And it doesn't mean you don't do anything about it. You do what you have to do. You set the limits for them to be safe. You do whatever you need to do. But you don't spend your whole day in that. And then you have a quality of life that is coming back up.
Yeah, we let the outside circumstances dictate our thoughts and our feelings, and especially our children, because they know that button to push.
Exactly.
When we can get deep within ourselves and say, we're going to control our emotions first, the amazing thing is it controls the circumstances. And it's so hard for people to grasp that. But so I'm so thrilled that you're working with parents to help them do that, because I think that's the secret. We both know that's the secret to the whole thing, that when we control our own energy.
Desensitize your triggers. And the other thing.
I love that.
That is really, really important. Take care of your stuff before, ideally before you have kids, but that wasn't the case for me. I didn't know
take
that.
Take care of your stuff before, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
So you don't, I call it bleeding your wounds on your kids.
Ah, yes.
If you feel unloved and you put, you know, the dangerous place to be is to expect to feel loved based on what the world is telling you are. In love, in motherhood, in anything, it's dangerous. You put the power in someone else's hands. When you feed yourself with self-love, when you know it's your job and it's not your kid's job to show you that they love you, don't put that burden on them. They do love you, but it's not their job to show it to you. They do appreciate you, but it's not their job to tell you, I appreciate you. They will later when they're older. It's your job. It's your responsibility. So don't bleed those needs, unmet needs, on anyone else around you. Take care of them. Feel yourself in front of the mirror. I do a lot of tapping in front of my mirror. Self-acceptance, self-love. I love Louise Hay. I worked a lot in the past with her material. Do that for yourself. To me, self-love starts with taking responsibility of your stuff and trying to remove the blindfolds that we have on our subconscious beliefs and patterns that are in our way and make us vibrate lower.
I love that. And, you know, you talked about self-love. So a lot of us, when we're parenting all children, especially teenagers, we have give them so much energy, right? We give them so much love, and there's energy flowing from us to them. And we think that we need that back from them. We think that we need their energy to feed us. And that is not going to happen. We need the energy from source. We need the energy. Yeah. When you say self-love, it's our higher self, right? It's source. And when we can tap into that, and the power comes to and through us from source, from God, from Christ, from, you know, then we have so much more to give them. But I was a divorce attorney for 40 years, you know, and we dealt with custody battles all the time. And everybody was vying for their kids' attention. They wanted their kids to like them better and validate them, because they were completely empty of energy, because they were giving so much out, and they're thinking they're going to get their energy from their children. We're getting our energy, right, from source, from self-love, being understanding love comes from our higher self.
And so the two things I want to say about that is, you need to be seen, but you need to be seen by you. No yes. one will see you if you don't see you. And yes. that's, for me, I guess it will be my life work, maybe until I die, to remember and see myself, and don't forget yourself. And so that's the one part. And the other part, you're talking about love from source. I remember when my kids were younger, and I was really, really, it was hard. Because like I said, I had to protect them from the other parent, and they didn't feel loved by the other parent, because a person who suffers from addiction something in them that prevents them to show the love. They don't even know how to love themselves. So I had to really be there to explain that to my kids in a way that I didn't want them to feel like a victim. I always told them, you picked him for a reason. What is the treasure behind that?
Oh, I love that.
There is always a treasure. There is suffering, there is difficulties, that's for sure. But what's the treasure? I remember my daughter is they all have ambition, but the first one is very driven. And I told her, this, you got a lot from your father, because you saw him lacking so many that you made a promise to yourself. I will never be there. That's his gift. In the form of a kick of a in
well, rear, his, but his weakness became her strength.
Yeah.
Because she saw what it is that she needed to do.
Yes. And love. So when I was feeling it was too much for me and I didn't have enough love, I sat on my meditation cushion and I literally summoned love. And I could feel it in my chakra here in the heart center. I would say, send me love. I would ask for the love. And that feeling of, I don't know how to describe it, but that I could physically feel it. And that filled me up. And then I was ready to get back up and do whatever I had to do, fight whatever battle I had to fight. And then at a certain point, I realized that I was always in battle. So I said, okay, this Wonder Woman identity that I have, I don't want it. I'm done with battling. Everything is going to be easier.
I love that.
And I worked on that. And I have very few battles today in my life.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. We don't need to be Wonder Woman. I love that.
That's why I don't like this term, the spiritual warrior.
Because that automatically means you are at battle with something, right?
I don't want to fight.
I love that. Because when we use the word struggle, we struggle with our kids. What are we going to get more? We're going to get more of that. But if I love easy, effortlessly, everybody put their hands up. How many out there would love to have that with their teenagers, with all their children and stuff?
And it doesn't mean it's easy 24/7, but it means everything is a spiritual assignment. Are you going to take the challenge or not? You know, like Mission Impossible, if you accept that mission.
Mission Impossible. And then everything blows up. So yes, we
understand. It's an opportunity for you to see, okay, what do I do that doesn't serve us, that doesn't serve me and the highest good there? What is my depression? I blessed my depression after, because what came after was way stronger. That was a suicidal attempt. And if I hadn't done the work before, I couldn't have dealt as well as I did with that.
I love that. So bless wherever we are and our weaknesses right now, because that is going to give us the answers we need down the road.
That gives us the tools, the strength, the Now I started doing my life completely differently. I apply co-parenting with the universe all the time. And that very specific approach gave me the strength to stay centered when you see your kid harming themselves or going and trying to kill themselves and ending up in a facility. Aww. And you're at home and they're there. If you don't have the training, we were talking about thoughts and going down. If you don't have that training, you're going to end up crazy.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
And I didn't, because I remembered, okay, that process, I let go of that. I don't even want to think about it. Not relevant. Next.
What do I need to deal with right this minute, right?
Yeah.
And what I think is such a big picture is that what was at the time your darkest times has turned out to be a blessing for you and for the world, because you've learned this lesson that you can share and that you can help people. If you'd had perfect teenagers and you were perfectly happy, you wouldn't have come to this point of being able to offer this. So people out there, it's some of the things you think are the worst things in the world right now turn out to be blessings, because it brings us exactly the information and the energy that we need.
And you can't always see it in the moment. What I also don't like is when people try to put the positive right away on stuff, and
right.
Don't let people do the journey, because if you lose someone, you have to grieve. You have to go down. You have to cry. You have to be, every emotion is a message of something you have to do or something you have to let go of. If you're angry all the time, some stories you tell yourself are not serving you. So accept the anger. And I have a visualization where you can detach enough from the emotion so you can see the message, because they're messengers. And anger is telling you, okay, change your story. It doesn't serve you.
I love that we're not victims anymore, right?
Yeah.
Anger's, yeah. You know, Steve Jobs always said, you can't connect the dots going forward. You can just connect them going back. And when we're in the middle of a dot, we don't understand it. And I love it that you don't try to make that dot positive. Just acknowledge that you're there. Yeah. And realize that when you look at your life, the dots connect and there's some amazing reason all these things had to happen. And if you can at least get that during the time you're going through the negative things, that is so helpful.
It is. No, and don't beat yourself up if you have negative emotions either. Just let them flow. Let them flow. They will flow. And it helped me so much to try to detach and observe, being in the state of the observer rather than the one that's involved with the emotion and the thought. That's why now I have on my website a Back to Peace kit for moms, where that visualization is in there, together with a tapping session to calm down after an argument, because we need that.
Oh, I love that. Oh, and we're out of time. I want to have you back again soon, but let's tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and how they can work with you, and spell your name for everybody.
So my name is Muriel, Muriele, last name Felous, F as Frank, Ellous. And that's my name on my YouTube channel, actually. And they can find everything at singlemomsdoingitall.com.
And it's a darling website. So that's singlemomsdoingitall.com.
Yes.
And you've got ways they can work with you. You've got programs. I think you've got some consultations there. And I would encourage everyone, and it's everyone, I'm telling you, every mother out there has gone through this or is going through this, to reach out to Muriel. I'm so thrilled that we connected.
I am too, because we resonate so much.
I know. I know. And who, you see, here's a perfect example of born on the other side of the world, comes, you know, goes through Israel, love Israel, shows up here. And somehow we've connected. And I know that we were here to give this message out, right? And to change the world together. So thank you so much. I'm so thrilled we connected.
Thank you. I am too. I'm grateful that we connected.
I'm grateful. And I'm going to be on her show and I'll put that up, but I want everybody to reach out to her. So singlemomsdoingitall.com is a great way to do it. And her YouTube channel is Muriel F-E-L-L-O-U-S, because I'm not good at pronouncing it, and you'll find it.
You can find it on my website. I have
some links.
Two tapping sessions at the bottom of the homepage, because saying no is a big deal for a lot of people. So I have a tapping session on that.
I love that. Tapping.
Yeah.
They can I'm going to start getting into tapping. I was just talking to some...
A lot of science behind it too now.
Yes, there is. The meridians and everything. So yeah, anybody that has any desire whatsoever, please reach out to her. And because I know that she's here to change lives. So thank you so much, Muriel.
Thank you, Paula. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. And we will be right back. And we are back. I love Muriel. I love her website, which is Single Moms Doing It All. Whoever out there is hearing this that knows it's for you, please do not hesitate to reach out to her immediately. There's a reason that she showed up in my life, and there's a reason that she showed up in yours. A lot of us drag our feet and say we're going to do it tomorrow. And I'm here to tell you that she has a message for all you out there that have teenagers that we need to learn how to react differently to them, respond differently to them. So I'm so thrilled that I was able to find her, and I'm so thrilled as to her message and her opportunities that she's offering to people. So please reach out to her if you have any concerns. She's got some great free things on there. I'm going to get on there and learn how to tap. The amazing thing is, see, there's no coincidences. As I was teaching my course last night, and I have one of my students who knows how to tap. And I said, I don't know how to tap. I know there's science behind it, but that's what I want to learn. And within what, 12 hours, I have someone on my show that does this and teaches other people. So no, there's no coincidences. Pay attention to what happens in your life. Pay attention to those nudges and those intuitions. That is what is going to get us all to this next amazing level, individually and as a consciousness, as a total universal consciousness. Because we are on the verge of something beautiful and wonderful, although we're already in a beautiful, wonderful area. So just know that there are people out there that are willing to help you, that want to help you. Please reach out to me at PaulaKidCasey.com. That goes directly to my website. I've got a YouTube channel. I've got this podcast, obviously. So please share it. Please leave a review. It helps me get my message out to other people. I have a book on Amazon, The Lawyer and the Lawyer of Attraction.com. So please reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. And I love it when I get to offer some amazing new people that I have just met. So thank you so much for being here today. I know there was a reason that you were here to hear this. And I know there's a reason that we have come together. So as Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home. And I'm so honored to be on this journey with you. So until next time, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.